Hey, everybody. I'm really excited about the service that we have for you today. Man, I know you're excited about seeing all of these students involved in the ministry here. Man, these are young people who are going to grow up and make the next generation of Savannah Christians even stronger than the last. I don't know about you, but when I look at that next generation, I'm excited about what God is going to do through that next generation of leaders. Part of the reason that we're developing such a strong student ministry is our communicator today. His name is Grant Roskowiak. Grant is our high school pastor and lead pastor for our student ministry here at Henderson. Grant has had quite an experience. He was saved in this church. He was discipled here. He grew up with my son Garrett. We're in school together. He went to Wheaton College to play football. He left Wheaton and went to Haiti to serve as a missionary. He and his wife Natasha actually met in Haiti. They have a beautiful young son named James. I'm excited about the work that Grant's doing with our high school students here, and I know you are too after this service today. But Grant loves the Word of God. He is absolutely committed to Christ. He's going to do a great job bringing the Word for us today. Let's give Grant a warm Savannah Christian welcome as he comes to share God's Word.
Hey, everybody, I just want to welcome you again to Savannah Christian Church. If you're new here, if this is your first time, we're just so glad you're here. I kind of want to start this message off in a little bit of a unique way, and I just want to start by thanking you. Many of you I've known for years and years, some of you maybe just the last couple of years. Others of you I will meet for the first time today. But I want you to understand that this moment, this service, this process for me has been thousands and thousands of faithful believers, faithful Savannah Christians pouring into my life. I see many people here, some small group leaders for me, some people who have visited my wife and I when we were in Haiti. Others of you who I don't know your names, but you sacrificially gave so my wife and I could lead 14 students in an orphanage in the middle of the northwest part of Haiti. So I want you to understand this, and I want you to feel this. Like, I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for faithful believers that year after year pour into people like me and told me when I was a punk high schooler that God had a better plan for your life, that God was going to make you who He called you to be. And I just want you to know, I say thank you. So I just wanted to start that off and tell you thank you for that. Now, one of the people that I feel has been a leader in my life is Cam. And Cam mentioned in the video that there's a lot of moving parts in my life. And one of those moving parts is Haiti. Now, there's a funny story. Some people might think it's funny. My family thinks it makes me look like an idiot, but I think it's a funny story. In Haiti, if you don't know anything about Haiti, Haiti's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And where my wife and I lived, we lived in the poorest section of the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. So with that being said, there were no roads. But me, being the invincible young man that I was, I had this 125 horsepower Suzuki that was just struggle to carry 270 pounds around these places that there are no roads. So I was leaving one town one day to go to my home. And I hopped on my bike and I proceeded to head home. And I was driving home, and of course there's potholes because there's no holes, there's just no road. But there's these potholes, and you know, if you know anything about dirt bikes, they kind of catch them and all this stuff. So I was going around this corner and I was wearing my invisible helmet. Now, if you know anything about young people, we like to wear our invisible helmet. So basically I had my hat on backwards and my glasses and this invisible helmet on that was going to protect me from everything that was never going to come. So I'm coming around the corner about 25, 30 miles an hour. And not only was there a pothole, the road was washed out. So I didn't have time to think. So I proceeded to check my helmet and hit this pothole and flip over the handlebars. But the good thing about it is, I don't know if you can see from the screen, my big nose and chin, they cushioned my landing ever so slightly as I proceeded to hit my face against the rocks and the sand. So I'm laying there, semi-bleeding, confused, and kind of gotten a wake-up call. Now, if you know anything in life, I'm not just talking about riding a bike or anything, but any time where you have an accident or you stumble or you're knocked down, one of the hardest things for us to do is to get right back up. The thing for me is I'm in the middle of nowhere, Haiti, and I still have 2 more hours to go. So I brushed myself off, kind of gathered myself. The bike, who was limping beforehand, now is by God's grace and a miracle carrying me to where I need to go. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Because, you know, us as young people, sometimes we plan so eloquently. I planned to get home right when it was dark because I have no lights on my bike. But not foreseeing that I was going to get into an accident, I am now in what was an accident is now a disaster. So I begin to putt down the street, just in the middle of what I think is a road, and just praying and holding on tight that I don't hit another washout or something else is going to happen where I hit my face again. So I'm putting down. It's pitch black now. There's no electricity. I'm putting down this road, and all of a sudden, someone came from the sky or from behind me. So some of you may say it's a coincidence. Others of you, a miracle. I don't know. All I know is in that moment, a man pulled his bike next to mine. And he says, "Follow me, I'll take you all the way home." So, as almost tears of joy come down my face, or blood, or a mixture of both, I make it all the way home, and the man drives away. I don't know who it is to this day. He never said anything to me. All I know is in that moment that I was led, and by God's grace, I was led home. Now, you have to understand something. We are all being led. At every moment, in every aspect of our lives, we're being led. Now, Cam said, I love two things, or a lot of things, but one of those things is I love this church and I love Scripture. There's a lot of sobering passages in Scripture, and one of those passages is Judges 2:10. Now, if you know anything about Judges, Judges is this spiraling down of Israel's destruction. It's almost like a broken violin. There's an evil king that grew up. There's an evil king that grew up. There's an evil king that grew up. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, so on. All the chapters of Judges. But for me, one of the passages that sends shivers in my bones comes in Judges 2:10. It said, "And there arose another generation after who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." Now, if I could condense this into a kind of a phrase that maybe you will remember or a concept, it's this. There was a generation that grew up that didn't know the Lord. Now, what I want to communicate with you, what I want to plead with you tonight is this. My job, let me rephrase that, our job, as a community and a body of believers, is for us to never let that happen. I want to say that again. Our purpose, our goal as a body of believers, is for us never to see this happen. Never see the next generation, this generation, not know the gospel or Jesus Christ. Now, as I stated earlier, and this is what I want you to understand, is that we're all being led by someone. Right now, in this moment, you're being led. Maybe it's your own ideas, maybe it's politics, maybe it's advertisements, social media. We're all being led. The other side of that, and at all times, we're all leading someone. Now, what I want you to do, just for a brief moment, is think about this. Who are you leading? Not only who are you leading, but who's leading you? Who are you leading? and who is leading you? You see these shirts all around. If you didn't see these middle schoolers and high schoolers lunging at you, the shirts say, "Lead me." What this message is about, what this concept is about, is what we're going to do to lead this next generation. We're in this series right now, and it's one of the coolest series that we've had, and it's Jesus God Revealed. And if we want to know what leadership looks like, or if we want to know what it means to lead and what it looks like to be led, I think one of the perfect places is to look at God. And if we want to know what God is like, we need to look at Jesus. And one of the most profound ways that we see Jesus lead is in John 13. If you have your Bibles, or if your devices, or if you don't have one, there's some Bibles in front of you, we're going to camp out in John 13. Now, John 13 is an amazing section of Scripture. Many of you probably have heard about this before, but this is the night when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. I'll begin in 13:1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." I want you to take note of that. We're going to come back to that. "During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had come from the Father, was going back to the Father, rose from supper, he lay aside his garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him." Imagine with me. Imagine you're one of the 12. You're walking into this supper. Jesus seated at the head of the table. And he begins to tell you that the hour is coming. What does this mean? What this means is Jesus knows that he's about to be crucified. He's explained it time and time again, but the disciples don't get it. What we know about ourselves or the disciples is that there's two things. Their hearts are proud and their feet are dirty. We know their hearts are proud because in Luke, we see the author of Luke write at that same dinner, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And we know their feet are dirty because in that culture, you would walk from house to house, town to town, wearing sandals. There are no paved roads. And your feet would get dirty. Dust, dirt would gather on your feet. Now, if you went to a home and there was a servant there, he would begin and he'd proceed to wash your feet. And as every guest arrived, their feet would be washed. But if there was no servant, what was culturally the norm is that someone would walk into the house, they would wash their own feet, then the next guest who would arrive, they would wash their feet, and so on and so forth. But seeing that Jesus stopped and he picked up the towel, we know that their feet are dirty. So that all 12 disciples walked by the towel. And what we see is we see this. We see Jesus, the most powerful person in the room. He grabs, first he takes off his outer garment, his significance. As a rabbi, he would wear something that would show that he was a rabbi. He takes off his significance and lays it aside. And he bends down. He grabs the water, grabs the towel, and he bends down. And he pours the water in. And then he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, one thing I want us to understand is that leadership is unannounced. Jesus didn't stand up and say, "Now let me show you what it means to lead." He took off his garment, he bent down, and he washed his disciples' feet. Now, that passage I told you about earlier, where he said he loved them, he loved every one of them, and he loved them to the end. What I want you to know, and if this is the, one of the takeaways that you take, is Jesus washed Judas's feet. Knowing that he was going to betray him, I want you to understand that leadership is not announced, nor is leadership designated to those who deserve to be led. Now, let me show you what this kind of looks practically. Now, for me, I have a son. I don't know if you guys know that I have a son. You maybe saw that in the video, but I have a son. His name is James. He's the cutest kid in the world. Every pastor's got to put it on stage. That's him right there. But my role and my job and my ordination as a father is that I have to lead James. Now, he's only a year old right now, but the way that I lead him is by being there, by spending time that he'll never remember, but also to loving him and to taking care of him and to nurturing him and raising him in the ways of the Lord. Now, I would be foolish to stand up here and say that what you've seen or what you've been a part of isn't because of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who've decided to lead. The one thing they all have in common is that their lives have been radically transformed by Jesus, and they want to tell students what it looks like. Now, Kelly Fortson. Kelly Fortson is a third grade teacher in Pooler. And she said, you know what, I'm not going to spend my summers or I'm not going to spend my time after school just sitting idly by. I'm going to take that time to pour into people like Haley. Haley is a graduating senior from Arts Academy. Now, you may have heard the story of Haley before kind of in Cam's sermon, but Haley's the girl that decided she wanted to give up her trip to the World Cup so she can go on a mission trip. What an amazing, amazing sacrifice. But God had different plans for Haley. Haley actually got in a soccer accident, and she's been going through a lot of medical issues, and she wasn't even able to go to the World Cup or on the mission trip. But because she's being led by somebody who loves Jesus and life is radically transformed, Haley has served, and it continues to serve, even after graduation in student ministries, to tell middle schoolers and younger students what it looks like to have their lives radically transformed by Jesus Christ. You got Michael Hodgson. Michael Hodgson is a simulation software engineer at Gulfstream. And he, every Tuesday or Wednesday after work, he comes to his house and opens his house to a bunch of 10th grade boys to tell them about how Jesus has radically transformed his life. And one of those people is Eli. Now, Eli, who gave our offering talk, he's one of those guys that has his life all planned out. He told me, first time I met him, he goes, I'm going to graduate from high school, I'm going to go to this school, and I'm going to go to the Air Force, and then hopefully, you know, 3 years, I'll be captain in the Air Force, and I'll go from there, until I take over the world. That is Eli. That is Eli's story. Eli recently just went on a trip to Rwanda with 11 other students, and he came back and he changed his major. He's going to be an engineer. He's going to a Christian college to be an engineer so that he can use eco-friendly engineering to help third world countries develop and use that as an avenue to enter into some countries where the gospel is not allowed to go and preach the gospel. Why? Because someone's life was radically changed by Jesus and they decided to lead. You have Stacy Wilder. She works at Wells Fargo as a bank teller. And her daughter serves in the ministry. But she decided that she wanted to pour into Sierra. Now, Sierra, before she came to us, she struggled with self-harm. She struggled with a lot of identity issues. She was broken. But at camp, the year before last, she decided, you know what? I can't live this way anymore. As she was baptized and she's on stage singing today. Because her life was radically changed by Jesus. Because radical lives changed by Jesus, leading other people to radical changed lives by Jesus, it continues. You got Robert Donaldson. Robert Donaldson's an entrepreneur and he works for the GOP, but he's poured into Sammy. Sammy plays music at Richmond Hill. He's one of the best drummers I know. And he called me the other day, struggling. He's trying out for the drum majors, but also he wants to be in the play, and also he wants to serve in the ministry. He says, I just want to glorify God, and I don't feel like I have time. What 16, 17-year-old says that? Sammy does. Because leaders have decided to pour into this person. Why? Because they've seen what it looks like, and looks how when Jesus leads, leadership comes unannounced, and leadership is through service. When you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Now, it's very difficult to lead like Jesus if you don't know what it means to be led by Jesus. Now, parents, I want to bring you in. Students, close your ears. Close them. Close them. You look like one. Close it. Parents, listen. Students don't want me to tell you this. It's a big secret. They want to be led. Not only do they want to be led, they want you. College students, young adults, you're not excused. You are some of the coolest people in the world to high schoolers. You have this 4 years of influence. Use it to advance the gospel in these students' lives. Students want to be led. Let's lead them. Now, not everyone knows what it means to be led like Jesus, or not everyone wants to be led by Jesus. We see, if we continue on in 13, in verse 6, we see this. He said, he came to Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter, he's the one that's either all in or all out. He's the one that hops out of the boat but then sinks. He's the one that says, I'll never deny you, and denies him 3 times. So something's coming with Peter. So you got Peter in verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? You're gonna wash my feet, Lord? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you're never going to wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no share with me. Peter didn't understand this. Jesus was interested in holiness, not hygiene. Because Peter continues on and he says, Lord, not only wash my feet, wash my whole body. Jesus said to him, the only one who bathes, Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, not all you are clean. When he washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you think he would say, you got to wash my feet. But he says, you need to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you do these things, you are blessed. Blessed are you if you do them. It is impossible to lead like Jesus if you're not willing to be led by Jesus. My question for you is, are you willing to be led by Jesus? Now, don't confuse me on this. What I don't want you to understand is that you got to go do a bunch of stuff. or you got to join student ministries, or you got to be a small group leader, or you got to do all these things. You got to do all these things so you can gain Christ. No, what I'm telling you is because of what Jesus Christ has done, now we are able to go and to do. And it doesn't mean just being a part of a ministry. It means in every single day, just denying yourself and picking up the towel. Are you willing to be led by Jesus so you could lead like Jesus? Jesus demands of you the very same thing that you can demand from him. It's nothing. But he does invite you in. And just like those 12 who walked by, he invited every one of them into holiness. I want to show you what it looks like when students decide to pick up the towel.
I had the opportunity to take 16 Blitz middle school students to CCDM. It stands for the Christian Church Disabilities Ministry. It's a ministry that specifically supports, nurtures, and encourages and houses adults with severe mental and sometimes physical disabilities.
I really felt that God was calling me to go help people, and I was just really excited when I saw this opportunity.
I have an autistic sister, and I've had a lot of experience with special needs, so I wanted to try it out.
I had been really called to go back on the mission field after we came back from living in the Middle East as missionaries. And I found this and I prayed about it and I felt like God was calling me to go.
We cleaned out a garage, we painted, we stained fencing, we cleared out an entire fire pit, and they pulled weeds and they mowed grass. And then in the afternoons, we would go and we'd spend a couple of hours with the residents.
After every meal, a resident named Deborah would want us to come and make beads with her. You know, just hanging out with her made her know that she's being loved.
Me and my dad and some other students went on a walk with a man named Gary Lee. And he held my hand and he kept asking me, "What are you going to do if a bear comes out of the woods?" And I said, "Well, I'll protect you."
I made a friendship with Cindy. I got to talk to her a lot, and she likes food and all sorts of different stuff.
We were on our way to the dump and dumped all of our cans into the aluminum can bin.
And we see a sign that says 50 cents per pound, and it ends up being $30. Deva says out of the blue, "You know, we should give it back to the community."
We just felt like we were there not to earn money, you know, just to help out.
We were tasked with cleaning about 30 chairs. We took 3 passes on these, and they still weren't clean.
We were scrubbing at them, and we were kind of getting annoyed.
Dr. Pete, he says, "If you do it like this, Lord, I'm doing this for you."
And then he scrubbed the chair, and the spots started coming off.
And each one of them stood in front of a chair individually, looked up, and said, "Lord, I will clean this chair for you." And they started scrubbing, and those chairs came out perfectly clean.
That chair story, it kind of taught me that if you say you're going to do it for the Lord, it's going to work.
They have come back now, and they're looking for opportunity to use that experience that God gave them at CCDM to really encourage and bless some other people that they might not have, you know, before that trip happened.
I want to ask you the same question that these students were asked. The same question that the 12 disciples were asked explicitly or implicitly. Are you willing to pick up the towel? Are you willing to walk by? Or are you going to pick up the towel? My hope is that we're a church that picks up the towel. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that we can call you Father. I thank you that not only did you show us this example in John 13 of you picking up the towel and serving, but rather 6 chapters later, you picking up a piece of wood and putting it on your shoulders and carrying it up a hill to where you were crucified. And carrying a burden that we could never carry. Taking the sin, past, present, and future, and trading that for your righteousness. Lord, not thank you for picking up the towel, but thank you for picking up the cross. Lord, based on what you've done and are doing, Lord, help us to lead like you because we're being led by you. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.